This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. This is Chris Gunter. We have a special episode this week to talk about movies, Hollywood, and the Oscars. Spoiler alert, we may be discussing key plot points in some of the films. You have been warned. Our guest co-host today is Ann Augerton, who is the managing editor of the Arlington Catholic Herald and editor of the Catholic Journalist, the newspaper of the Catholic Media Association. Full disclosure, Ann is also my wife. But our guests today are some very special guests. Sister Rose Picotti, FSP, is a media literacy education specialist and the founding director of the Pauline Center for Media Studies in Los Angeles. She's an author and a film journalist, and she's been working lately in Rome, teaching classes on digital media and media literacy. Our other guest is John Mulderig, who is the movie film reviewer for OSV News. John has been doing this since 2007 in one guise or another, first with the U.S. Bishop's Office of Film and Broadcasting, then with Catholic News Service for a very brief time with the Catholic Review, and now with OSV News. John, Sister Rose, Ann, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you. Good to be here.
Thank you.
Ann, why don't you start us off?
I don't know what you all want to start with. Do you want to start with talking about Best Picture? Or do you want to talk about the movies that you've seen this past year? And so there might be some overlap.
There's a little bit of an overlap. Yeah, I haven't seen that many, but I just saw a couple this afternoon. We should talk about Conclave.
Yes.
Yes. So this was one that we saw. And of course, this is a film about the election of a pope. And there are twists at the end. I think I'm sure most of our listeners have heard that by the end, one of the cardinals who was at the conclave is elected. And it turns out that he had gone to have some surgery and apparently has both female and male gender. So the question is, did the church just elect the first intersex person?
Intersex.
Yeah. Again, one of these very dark movies. I thought most of the time it was very dark. Isabella Rossellini is nominated for Best Supporting Actress, and she doesn't have a speaking line in the first half of the film. So it's kind of an odd kind of thing there. What's your take on this one? John, let's start with you.
Well, as purely in cinematic terms, I would say it's a very well-made film, but it's typical of the experience of people making movies about the church who don't know a great deal about the church. And I think the positions of the various cardinals are sort of, oh, let's have this one be a liberal, this one's a conservative, this one's from Africa, so he doesn't like gay people. It was all sort of, you know, fill in the paint by numbers kind of thing. But in terms of drama and considered strictly as a piece of cinema, it's a fairly well-made film.
I read the book and I was such a ho-hum. And there's many parts of it that are inaccurate. The author is Protestant, I believe. And I will say it's an earnest book. I think he's striving to be accurate, but even there are inaccuracies in the book. But the portrayal of the sisters is so unreal. The nuns would never get that close in a conclave to the cardinals. And the other thing is, John, tell me if I got it right. Did he break the seal of confession?
Oh, that's interesting.
I think he did.
Okay.
And the sister I saw it with, she's studying at the Gregorian for her doctorate. She's from Slovakia and she speaks English and German and French and all this. She's very, very well educated. She's watching it. And she goes, this is so absurd.
Yeah. And one of the other points that's been made is that if a cardinal is made in pectore, which is in secret, that the Pope designates somebody a cardinal in secret because they're concerned that they might be threatened with violence in their home country if they are. The cardinal in question is from Afghanistan. If the Pope dies without ever having revealed that, it's null and void.
Exactly.
So this person would not even have been allowed into the conclave.
But he did reveal it to the John, what's his name, character. The really tall guy. Third Rock guy.
John Lithgow.
Oh, John Lithgow.
Yeah.
Lithgow.
Oh, Lithgow.
Yeah. So he did reveal it to him. And I think that, but I don't know if that counts.
Yeah.
I think it has to be publicly announced.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Before you do
there's
that.
so many things. And then there's the umbrella scene, the choreographed umbrella scene, which just seemed a little ridiculous to me. It's like us nuns. It's like herding cats. You would never get all those cardinals in one place to do that. We do our, we obey, but we kind of do our own thing. Anyway.
Well, how about we switch gears and talk about Wicked?
Ah.
Okay. Sister, you want to jump in? What did you think?
Sure. Well, I was prepared to like it because I'd seen the musical at the Zetterstrom Center in Orange County from the nosebleed section. So I hadn't really seen the musical. I had heard it. It's so, you're so far from the characters. It was even hard to get into the story. But having said that, I'm sitting there watching it with another sister because I got a screener from the studio, and we're going, oh, Harry Potter. Okay, let's see, Barbie. There are all these elements, artistic elements to it that you could just, we just kept naming films that it reminded us of. And, it was fine, and it's got a lot of messages in it, on the nose messages that I think even a 10-year-old would understand, and about bullying and racism and prejudice, things, bias, all those things are in there. But if you can hang on for the last 15 minutes, that was amazing. Cinematography, the editing, the music. Oh, I thought that was worth the whole time. It was, to me, it was artistically. And of course, and you have sympathy for the characters. You can engage in the, well, especially, and I'm not going to be able to pronounce her name. I don't have it in front of me. The actress who plays the Green Witch.
Alphabet.
Cynthia.
Cynthia Erivo, right? You have such, I had such great sympathy for her character, and she was such a strong, lovely character without being in any way resentful. She treated the Pink Fairy,
Galinda.
Glinda, Glinda, as she treated her like a sister, and but she was like a dumb blonde. I don't know. There were some artistic moments in it that I think could have used a little bit more tidying up, but it was good. I'm glad I watched it. I really want to see the sequel now and see if they can match that.
Yeah, you mentioned it being, worth it to wait till the end. It was a very long film. John, was it worth it?
I'm very resistant to long films. I don't think anybody should be allowed 2 hours and 1 minute, much less 2 hours and 40 minutes or whatever it was. But overall, I would have to say that it was very well done. And I thought that the combination of the drama of the Cynthia character, her drama plus the comedy of the ditzy blonde, kind of made for a good formula. And it did keep you going. And visually, it was quite good. It's one of the few movies in recent years that I've thought to myself, wow, the sets are really great on this. That's usually a detail I don't pay much attention to be honest. So I would say of the nominees that I've seen, this and Dune Part Two would be the ones that I think 10 years from now, people might still be watching.
Interesting. Okay.
Well, let's segue into Dune then. Dune Part Two, what's your take?
So Dune Part One was fine. It was a good movie. Dune Part Two is way above the first segment. I thought in terms of quality, in terms of how it catches you up into the story, I was really taken with it. It would definitely be my choice for best picture of the ones I've seen.
I saw the first Dune, and I'm probably the only person in the universe that said, what story? And all my friends, sci-fi friends and everything, they go, Sister Rose, how could you say that? It was fantastic. It was all this. And I'm going, yeah, okay. So I haven't really, I'll probably watch the second one on a rainy day when I don't have anything else to do.
There's a huge difference between the two, and I'm not sure what that's attributable to. I don't know whether the first one was all about exposition and now it's rolling.
What a long role. The other films I saw this year were a lovely, well, it's not a lovely film, but it's a really good film on Netflix called Children of the Train. or Children of the Trains, Bambini del Treno, or del tre dei treni. And it's over here in English and Italian, of course, but I don't know if it's on in the States, but it's based on a true story of after World War II in Naples. There were a lot of children being raised by single mothers, and the communists were offering these children like foster homes in the north of Italy, where there were stable homes and where they would be taken care of. And of course, people were screaming that they're, sending them to Russia where they're eating these children and things like that. But this one mother lets her child go, and he thrives. And the family that he's with, the man makes violins. It's got a beautiful story to it, and it's sad, but it's also about a mother's love that's really strong. And so I don't think the film, maybe it'll get nominated for next year, because I'm not sure when it was released.
We'll look for it. That's The Children's Train, Il Treno del Bambini, and it is available on Netflix in the US.
Sister, did you see Cabrini?
Oh, yes, I reviewed Cabrini at length, and it was nominated for a Satellite Award. Satellite Award, which is given by the International Press Academy, which is kind of an organization that grew up to counteract the Golden Globes, because this it's kind of a popular Golden Globe press people versus serious press people, and they nominated Cabrini for best film, and I thought that that would have been lovely if it could have been nominated. The only critique I had of the film is that I wish they'd shown more of the sisters together, because Mother Cabrini didn't do it on her own, and the other sisters are there, but it doesn't show them. I think there's only one shot with one of them smiling, and come on, we laugh a lot. But it's a film completely made by men, so maybe they just couldn't get into the religious life aspect of it. I don't know if they had any consultants who were nuns, but it's not a big criticism. I liked the film. People who saw it liked it, so they were inspired by it. What did you think, John?
Oh, I liked it very much. It did draw the criticism that there wasn't enough about her prayer life. But in fairness, I mean, it's difficult to portray someone's prayer life on screen.
Yeah, that's kind of boring to people.
Exactly.
And yet that certainly would have been what shaped everything that she and the sisters did. I see your point about, that they weren't shown in community very much, and they weren't shown kind of being contemplative at all, but they weren't meant to be cloistered. They were meant to be out in the streets.
Yes.
Right, John?
Yes, I'm sure her prayer life was very rich. You don't become a saint without your prayer life being rich. But as I say, it's difficult to portray that in a compelling way.
All you could do is really hint at it, like showing her maybe praying in chapel, and that would last for the whole movie.
Yeah. So I sympathized with that. I thought it was an unusually good religious movie, which, it's very easy to make a bad religious movie. And I've seen a lot of them.
Yeah.
This was on the higher end. You're right, John.
And I think the Angel Studio, which is the outfit behind it, I think they're showing some promise of making quality faith-based movies, which would be a breath of fresh air.
Absolutely. Especially when they're authentic and still artistic and entertaining, and not in a cheap sense, but see, you could have seen this in the theater and gotten popcorn and still be inspired by it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, exactly. And the one they did on human trafficking was the same way. Sound of Freedom.
Sound of Freedom, yes. Yeah, that's the
Yeah.
one. Well, let's move back to a couple of the other just hit. Maybe we won't hit all of the Best Picture noms, but how about A Complete Unknown, the bio of Bob Dylan? Did you see that?
I did not.
Oh, I did. I thought it was very well done. Timothée Chalamet, I think, deserves the nomination for Best Actor because he's virtually in every shot of the movie, and so he's got quite a heavy lift. I don't know that much about Bob Dylan, but I thought it was a very well-made film.
I have a friend who is a huge Dylan fan and of that whole era of music. And he thought Chalamet was ideal for it. But he said whoever was the casting director really deserves the award for this movie because everybody in it was perfectly cast, according to my friend.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Well, I did come to the conclusion that I like Timothée Chalamet's voice a lot more than Bob Dylan's. That's just my taste.
You know, they're saying that there should be an Oscar category for casting directors. I think that's true, because if you get a good cast, and even if you have a mediocre film, sometimes you can really bring it off because of the cast.
I'd say that's one of the things that elevates Conclave is the, the excellence of the actors involved is, you know, maybe they're better than the material they're dealing with in that movie.
We talked a little bit about the movies that didn't get nominated that you suggested, Sister Rose, Children of the Train. We talked a little bit about Sound of Freedom and Cabrini. John, anything that didn't get nominated that you would recommend as worth seeing?
That's a good question. I'm not sure that anything stood out for me. I think, again, Dune 2 and Wicked are probably the two movies that I think will last. You know, Cabrini is really well done, as we said. So I think that was a good one. The Anthony Hopkins Holocaust movie was interesting. How about you, sister?
The only thing I can think of that I started watching was Society of the Snow. And that was about that's an international film that didn't get nominated, but I don't think. But it was about the crash in the Andes of the rugby team.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Remember the film Alive? It was done live. But you know, when I started watching it, I said, I don't know if I want to go through this again. I did it before. it's the same story, really. What possibly? What can they do differently? But anyway, so I didn't finish seeing it. I also got through halfway through Maria, the Maria Callas story, the opera singer. Mm-hmm. Did you see that? Did you get to see that, John?
I didn't, unfortunately. I would like to.
But
what did you make of it?
I found it intensely boring.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, now that I think of it, I did see it.
It was that impressionable.
I'm sorry, Angelina Jolie. I love you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, that's, you were sort of sitting there wondering, why am I watching this? Now that I think of it, the sets were good.
Costumes.
Highest good. Praise.
Paris looked nice, but otherwise it wasn't too great, no. Did you see, one of our freelancers saw We Grown Now? I haven't seen it myself.
What is it? What was the name of it?
We Grown Now.
Oh, no.
It's a film about the Cabrini Green housing. My colleague, Kurt Jensen, was really taken with it. So,
Chicago.
Yeah. So we put that on our top 10 list because he was really taken with it. But
another movie about the heritage of Mother Cabrini. So
there you go.
It was named for her.
That's right.
It was named for her. What is Hollywood missing these days?
Well, I'm over here in Italy, and so I hear what's in the news. I'm still an accredited journalist, so I'm MPAA certified, Rotten Tomatoes still. But the problem is that there's so much coming out. You have no idea how many films. I think how many hundreds are released every year, but only 200 will make $1 million or more. I think that is still a true statistic. I'm not really sure. I'm watching a lot of television and episodic television, and I'm wondering why they can't make, like, The Night Manager?
The Night Agent.
The Night Agent. Oh, my gosh. I love the first season. And okay, I watched 5 episodes of the second season, but then I stopped because I said, this is too intense and I'm not really going to like it. I need to pace this out, you know, but I really enjoyed that. And then the other one is Yellowstone. Okay, it finished now. You know, there were parts of it that were too raw and too crusty, if you want, but it was a compelling show. It really got you. And yet they're not, I don't think they're doing that with movies. So how can they take a 6-part or a 10-part series and make it as compelling that we'd want to go to the theater for it?
Right. Yeah, one of the things that we've come across this year is that there have been a few series that we've started watching, and we find we don't like any of the characters. They're all reprehensible for various ways. It's hard to keep watching when you can't root for anybody, isn't it?
Yeah, and you just stop. Yeah.
Yeah, because you have to care about somebody on screen. Otherwise, the movie is just not going to work because you won't become engaged with the story. I would say if I had to identify an area that's lacking, and this has been true for a long time, there are kids' movies and there are grown-up movies. There aren't movies that the whole family can watch together, with a few exceptions, sort of the high-quality Pixar kind of things. They work for everyone. Inside Out 2, particularly Inside Out 1, was, a splendid movie. But it's very hard to find, I would think, a movie that parents can watch with their children and not be bored, because generally everything is segmented into, okay, here's the PG movie with a little bit of, scatological humor, but otherwise it's wholesome. And then there's the grown-up movie where, people are getting blown up or having people shoot them or whatever it is. But there are very few films that parents and children could watch together and be intergenerational. Sort of a Sound of Music kind of thing.
What's the most fun movie you saw this year?
I would say I enjoyed Fall Guy. I also liked Fly Me to the Moon. I thought that was a lot of fun.
Good. Sister Rose?
Fun. I'm trying to think fun.
Yeah,
I think it would have to be Wicked as far as you don't have to invest too much into it. You can just enjoy it. That would be because I haven't seen that many.
okay, let's do one more thing, and we can do it one of two ways. Do you guys want to pick best movie you think is going to win or you think should win? If we do movie, actor, actress, director. And I know the caveat that not everybody's seen everything, but do you want to do what you think will win or what you think should win or both?
I'm happy either way, or both.
Let's do both then.
Okay. Of the ones I've seen, I think Dune Part 2 is probably the best movie. That and Wicked.
Okay.
So I would not be surprised to see either of them win. I have a feeling maybe Anora is going, that might win just because it's so edgy.
Oh, it'd be terrible.
Oh, okay.
I agree, but.
I would rather have Emilia Perez get it, because
Oh yeah, definitely.
cinematically
Oh.
it has so much more substance. So of the ones that I've seen, I haven't seen enough, so it's really not fair. So Wicked, but I don't think Wicked's going to win Best Picture. It's not put together well enough for Best Picture to me.
Maybe with the fact that Bob Dylan now has a Nobel Prize, maybe it's time for a complete unknown
Known.
to get the Oscar.
There's also a lot of buzz about The Brutalist. I haven't seen it, so I can't judge that, but that's got a lot of praise.
I can, it's not available yet on streaming, so I wasn't able to watch The Brutalist beforehand. But I certainly wouldn't mind if A Complete Unknown got it, Wicked, or Dune Part Two, if you say so, John.
You got to see it. It's a whole different ball game from the first one. So,
Okay.
and sci-fi is not my thing by any stretch of the imagination. So,
Okay, any picks for best actor? And so just to go over the nominees, Adrien Brody, The Brutalist, Timothée Chalamet in A Complete Unknown, Colman, Domingo, Sing Sing, Ralph Fiennes, Conclave, Sebastian Stan, The Apprentice.
of the ones I've seen, I would go with Timothée Chalamet, but.
I think if Ralph Fiennes got it for Conclave, I wouldn't mind. Has he ever won an Academy Award? I don't know. He's been nominated, but anyway, I think he played the role very well in a movie that's not really great.
Yeah.
And then actress Cynthia Erivo in Wicked, Carla Sofia Gascón, Emilia Perez, Mikey Madison and Nora, Demi Moore, The Substance, and Fernanda Torres, I'm Still Here. Sister, what do you think is going to win?
I would like Cynthia Erivo to get it in for Wicked because she's very powerful.
I'd agree with that. I'd go with that.
Okay.
Do you have any hopes and dreams for what's going to come out of Hollywood in 2025?
You stop doing remakes, please. Really, where is the creativity if you're just going to rehash something that was done and probably not do it any better? How many films have we seen? They're very rare when the remake is better than the original. It's really even hard to think of one off the top of my head.
I mean, the only one I would put forward would be maybe West Side Story. I think he was incredibly daring to remake it, and it paid off. But normally, I mean, I think the underlying formula there is it's become so expensive to make a movie that you have to pitch the fact that it was popular in some other form, and now you're going to remake it. So it's a proven property already in order to get people to invest the amount of money it's going to cost to make the movie.
Which is why they keep making Exorcist movies and Devil movies. It's a proven formula, and it works. They're money makers.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to this year, John?
You know, Hollywood was thrown for a loop by both the pandemic and the strikes. So it's back on an even keel, I think. So maybe we can look forward to some creativity. I just hope the creativity doesn't go down the line of Anora, where it's how can we make what should be an X-rated movie into a wide release film?
Good point.
Well, one thing I would say is I'm going to keep my eye on Angel Studio because so far they've got a pretty good track record of doing what's very difficult, which is making quality religious films. So we'll see if that continues.
We'll look forward to it. Well, we have been having a conversation today with Sister Rose Picotti, a daughter of St. Paul, who's based in Rome these days, and with John Mulderig, the film reviewer for OSV News. Our guest co-host has been Ann Augerton of the Arlington Catholic Herald. Thank you so much for all of you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. This was great.
This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review, and you've been listening to Catholic Review Radio. Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week, available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area, and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.